The sermon title today is The Gospel Assignment. Last night I stayed up till 12:30 and I was writing my sermon. And I stayed up and I worked on my sermon, and then when I was done with it, because the Lord had been stirring about two different sermons in my life, and when I went to bed, I just didn't quite feel satisfied. I thought, it was a really good sermon. I think that you would really enjoy it. But it wasn't the one the Lord wanted to have spoken today. So I got back up at 5 this morning and I wrote another sermon. And I pray that you'll be blessed, because, you know, if I don't feel it, I don't preach it. So when I feel it and I know that God's abiding with me through that, then I know that that's what I'm supposed to speak to the congregation that day. Well, the sermon title today is The Gospel Assignment. The greatest miracle in your life that you will ever experience is not the one of a physical healing, but it is a spiritual healing you receive when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. It is a divine miracle. And if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, yes, there are miracles of healing. There are miracles of deliverance. We praise God forevermore for every one of them that takes place, but the miracle of salvation trumps them all. Christ came and gave his life so I might have life. Life eternal, life forevermore. Now today, let's look at the miracle of salvation and how it happens. So turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. It's a verse you're very familiar with because we refer to it a lot. But in Romans chapter 10, and we're going to go down to verse 8. So Romans 10 and verse 8, and verse 8 says, "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Amen. So these verses tell us what happened. Tells us what must happen. Verse 9. Verse 10, if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, if you truly believe in your heart that Christ is the one who he says he is, and that he is the Savior of the world, and if you confess Christ as your Lord and Savior, then your faith in Christ, through your faith in Christ, you will be saved. But what takes place in your life before the point of salvation? And that's what this message is about today. It's nothing short of amazing. Let me show you why. Turn with me to John chapter 6. We're going to come back to Romans later, but let's go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 44. We're going to look at several scriptures really quick today. So John chapter 6, verse 44 says what? It says, "No one can come to me." This is the words are read. It's the words of Jesus. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." Now, it's worth reading again. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to look at several real quick. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. And verse 14 says this. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. "But the natural man," who is that? The unsaved man, the person that does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, because they are still in their natural state. It says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned." It says the natural man, those that are unsaved, cannot know the things of the Spirit because they are spiritually discerned. Now turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, go down to verse 16. So John 15, verse 16, and it says, "You did not choose me." Think about that. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." Now turn with me to another scripture, Romans chapter 3. Going all over today, aren't we? Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is what? There is none who seeks after God." So if it's spiritually discerned, then I cannot understand the things of God, that I can only be saved if I'm drawn to Him by His Spirit, then how do I get to the point of accepting Christ? How can that happen? For the world, they're blinded by the God of this world. And until those scales fall off of their eyes, they do not understand, nor do they see. No one seeks God. No one can come to God. No one can come to know Jesus unless they are drawn by the Father. All these scriptures that says that if you're standing outside of your relationship with your Heavenly Father, how am I supposed to get to the point where I acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior, I confess my sins, and I confess Him and profess Him as Lord and Savior of my life? If I am standing on the outside of my relationship with my Heavenly Father, how do I get to the point of acceptance? Earlier we read in Romans chapter 10, so go back to Romans chapter 10. Because in Romans chapter 8, in Romans chapter 10, verse 8, it gives an indicator of what must happen. Many times we don't catch it. But if you look at Romans chapter 10, look at verse 8. But what does it say? "The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart." That is, now listen to it, "the word of faith which we preach." Amen. Now go down to verse 14. "How then shall they call on him who have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things.' But they have not obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our report?' So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So this is how it happens. Let me give you step by step. For the unbeliever, and I believe that you'll be able to relate to this as I share it with you today. This happens to everyone that comes to the knowledge of the truth of knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You didn't fall out of bed and become a Christian. You didn't have a rock drop on your head or a walnut out of the sky and say, "Hallelujah, now I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior." Every one of us has gone through this progression of accepting Jesus. Number one, the word is shared. The word is shared. Number two, that word is energized in the unbeliever's life by the power of the Holy Spirit. Number three, by faith, they accept Christ. And number four, by faith, one is saved and is born again. Everyone that knows Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior in this room today, at some time or another, you had Jesus that was witnessed into your life. And when Jesus was witnessed into your life, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes along and the Holy Spirit energizes that, and all of a sudden you see a need that you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. One way or another, you've all come through that progression of accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. I can give you an example. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, we see the great confession of Peter. So Matthew 16, verse 13. Verse 13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, some said John the Baptist, some Elijah, other Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Hallelujah! Through the Holy Spirit, it is revealed to you the need that you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So I can say, Dennis Myers, blessed are you, because the flesh and blood has not revealed your need of salvation, but the power of the Holy Spirit touched your life, recognized the need that you needed to accept Jesus, and you are a born again believer today. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. It is the most wonderful miracle that we could ever have in our whole entire life. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to read verse 4 through 7. In verse 4 it says, "For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal?" So this is what the problem is. People were coming in and say, "Well, I was saved under Jimmy Swaggart's ministry. I was saved under Pastor Leo's ministry. I must be more saved than you are because I was saved by this person or I was saved by that person." Paul tells them you're still carnal. In other words, you're saved, but you're still thinking and operating in the flesh. That's what carnal means. So while they were operating in the flesh, they were holding up these individuals they thought that they were saved by. That's the problem. He goes on to say in verse 5, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believe as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but what? But God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he that waters, but God is who it gives the increase. Who gave the increase in Pastor Leo's life? God gave the increase in Pastor Leo's life. Who has said the day of miracles have ceased?" We hear that all the time. No longer are there any miracles. No one's getting healed. No one's getting this. No one's getting delivered. Let me tell you, we are still living in the day of miracles today in the church. Otherwise, people would not be getting saved. When the greatest miracle happened in your life was the day that you accepted Jesus. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? By the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. As the Word of God is shared with you, the Holy Spirit comes alongside of that word and he quickens it to your heart. And all of a sudden, when he begins to energize that, you begin to recognize the need that you have for a Savior in your life, because before that, you did not recognize it because it was spiritually discerned. Each one of us are created in the image of God. Each one of us are born with a God plan and a God purpose. So you think you're going about your daily business. "I'm just going to be a mechanic. I'm just going to be a welder. I'm just going to be a carpenter. I'm just going to work at Vermeer. And even though that you're doing those things and God has provided that opportunity for you to have an income into your household to meet the needs that you have, besides that, there is still a God plan and there is still a God purpose in your life for each and every one of us. Until we receive Christ, there will always be a sense of lacking. There will always be a something that is missing out of our life. I have spent my life sharing the gospel, telling people that you will never find fulfillment in this life until you find Jesus. So yesterday, at men's fellowship breakfast, I shared a short devotional, and I said, think of yourself as being a puzzle. And the makeup of your life, in your life, there is something missing out of your life if you do not have Jesus. It's a missing part. There's a vacuum, and you will always have a longing, and you will recognize that there was something that is missing in your life, but you will not know what it is until you find Jesus, because Jesus is the missing piece in your life. Yeah. I'm not a very good drawer, am I? Everyone in the world. Now see, today I'm singing to the choir. You know Jesus. But everyone in the world that does not know Jesus does not recognize that they have this missing piece in their life. And this is the job of the church, to tell them, this is what you're missing. This is what you're lacking. You're missing the Jesus portion of your life that you were created to be, created to have a relationship with. The Holy Spirit energizes in people's lives to come to know Jesus. Church, as we sow the word, as we water the word, the Holy Spirit energizes that in people's lives to come to Jesus. That's the church's job. Now listen to me, church. If we are doing what we are supposed to be doing as believers, think about it. If the church is doing what we are supposed to be doing as believers, the church will never stop growing. Amen. That is a gospel truth. Why is it gospel truth? Because you sow, you water. The Holy Spirit energizes. God brings in the increase for them to know Jesus. You know why the church is not growing in America? You know why in America we now talk about the church as post-Christianity? It's because the church has failed to sow the word. The church has failed to water the word in people's lives, because that's what our job is. And if we will do that, we will never stop growing. Otherwise, what are we depending on? You're looking at an unbelieving world that the Word of God is, their knowledge of God is discerned. They cannot understand the gift of the Holy Spirit. They cannot understand what salvation is. Their minds are blinded. Their eyes are blinded to the reality of Jesus. They can't come to know God unless God draws them. Well, how does that work? Just like it did in your life, because you sowed it into somebody's life. The whole gospel message is built on that. How many times that we go on and on and on in the scripture? The parable of the sower. What's that about? It's about sowing the word in people's lives. On and on. The Great Commission. What is the church called to do? To preach and to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ to an unbelieving world. Otherwise, you know what the church is waiting on? The church is waiting on for somebody to go to a trip, on a trip, and not have anything to do, and out of boredom, they pick out the Gideon Bible out of the dresser drawer. And because then they read the word, all of a sudden God can energize that word in their life and bring to the knowledge of the truth. Well, I don't believe in most hotels anymore they even have a Gideon Bible. So how are they going to know it unless we tell them? They're not going to know it. They're not going to know it. Thank God that somebody took time to share their testimony with you. Thank God that somebody took the time to sow the word in your life. because that's how you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The word is shared, the Holy Spirit energizes the word, and people are saved. The church is built on the sharing of the word of God. And we spoke about the Great Commission and the parable of the sower. There's example after example after example that we are supposed to be telling others. And you know what? 90% of the Christians don't tell anybody about their faith, because they're afraid they'll be offended. I'm telling you, people, we need to wake up to the reality of Jesus Christ and the coming of the Lord Jesus, because people that are going to be left behind are going to go through 7 years of terrible time. If they don't accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. Amen. Now is our opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. Sometimes that's hard. People say, well, I'm not a theologian. I don't know very much about it. You don't have to know very much about the Bible. You know Jesus because Jesus is in your heart and life. Tell them what Jesus has done in your life. Tell them how Jesus has changed your life. Tell them that you're a different person today because you were lacking something, but now you have fulfillment through Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I didn't say any scripture in any of that I said. Now, I can tie scripture to it. And many of you can, but you don't have to necessarily know all the scripture and be a theologian to lead somebody to the Lord Jesus. If you get them that far, can I pray with you? Would you like for me to pray with you? I notice you're having a hard time. Would it be okay if I prayed with you today? I've talked to people that every other word out of their mouth was foul, and it was a terrible thing, and they had a terrible cussing problem. But when life goes down the drain, and I contacted them, and I said, can I pray for you? And they said, oh, please, would you pray for me? Hallelujah! The opportunity provides itself. All we have to do is step through the door. Amen. The gospel assignment for every believer who this week can you share Jesus with? Are you today missing something in your own life? Well, let me tell you, we got the answer. Everyone in this room has got the answer. For an unbelieving world that is so scared about global warming and everything that's going on in the world, that we're going to have World War III and we're going to have this, we're going to have that, oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my, what are we going to do? Well, I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to put your faith in Jesus. Amen. We've got the answer. Don't be reluctant to share it. Because that's what you're called to do, is to share the message of the gospel. What did it say in Romans? How will they believe if they are not told? Church, I don't want anybody to be left behind, and neither do you. And anyone that we can reach for the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to be pulling out all the stops and doing everything we can. We know that we live in a world that's going down the drain. But you have the answer. Share it with somebody. Now, how is this done? I'm going to pray for you right now in closing that God is going to run you headlong right into somebody this week to share your faith with. And if you pray that every day, you'll pray, God, lead me to somebody that I can share my faith with. You know what? God will provide that opportunity. Maybe it's not every day, but every day you pray it. Lord, lead me to someone that needs to know you, because if you lead me to them, you provide that opportunity. I am willing to share my faith. You know, 95% of Christians never share their faith. Isn't that a scary statistic? Amen. You know why you don't share your faith? Because Satan don't want you to share your faith. He doesn't want you to tell somebody what you got, because they might get it too. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. We pray that, Father, in only a way that you can, that you would sweep over this place by your power, by your authority, by your anointing. And maybe somebody in this room today is not They just don't feel comfortable yet. They feel that there's something missing, that maybe they have not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and we want to give them that opportunity that right now, that Lord, as they heard the word, and as you energized it in their life, do they recognize to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior? And I pray that, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would speak to their heart. And while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, would there be one by the signifying of the upraised hand, Pastor Leo, I want you to pray with me. I want you to pray with me. I want to know. I've never accepted Jesus, and I want to accept him before I leave here today. I recognize that there's something missing in my life. I wasn't born a Christian, and I don't know if I am one. Is there one? For the rest of us today, Father, we pray that you would lead us in contact somewhere, someplace, to somebody this week, that we could share our faith with them. That, Father, you would give us the words to share. You would give us the boldness to be able to share it. And I pray that through me, that, Father, I will allow Jesus to reach out through me. I will be his hands. I will be his feet. I will tell others about what you have done for me and the goodness that I have in my life since I have accepted Jesus. I pray that, Lord, over this congregation, today and the days to come, may this be the gospel mission, is to share our faith with other people. And we ask it in Jesus' name. I pray that, Lord, as we leave this place, may your hand be upon each and every one of our lives. May you lead, guide, and direct. And I pray over this congregation, because of their faithfulness, and these that are here that are faithful, you would open the windows of heaven and you pour out your blessings upon them and their family. And we ask it all today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Have a great day.